The question today is, why do good men reject truth? Why do good men reject truth? First of all, let me say, the Bible said in Romans chapter 3, it talks about the fact there's none good, no, not one. In one sense, there's no good men. But what the question is asked about is, why do men of character, why do men concerning this world, good men by the world standard, why do they reject truth? Folks, that's a good question. You realize something, the Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them to the light of the glorious gospel, that it lets that light shine down in their hearts and to be saved. That's really what the paraphrasing that verse. In other words, the god of this world is the devil, the little G-O-D, blinded. And then the Bible said, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. There's areas of your heart that's covered over. And why is that? Why is it that way? I know from my own experience. I preached 8 years lost, and during that time we had a man who come and preached truth about real salvation. And I still practice it, an easy believism method. I didn't raise your hand and repeat after me. I was against that back then. But I practiced the Romans 10:13 method of saying, well, call out loud. And I've heard you call. Are you calling God a liar? And so I put pressure on them. Listen, it's not my pressure. It's got to be God's pressure placed upon a person. It's got to be Holy Ghost conviction. And so therefore, I sat there those years and even taped the messages and could not hear. That's why the Lord said, if you've got an ear to hear, you need to hear. How blessed is a man if he's got ears to hear? It means that God's opened those ears. You see that we're blinded, we're deceived, and we're controlled. We're controlled by three things. Ephesians said we're controlled by, first of all, the spirit of this age, Ephesians 2:2. And that's, in other words, whatever everybody else wants to do, that's what we want to fit in. Peer pressure is called. We're controlled by the devil. Who's the prince of the power of the air, that worketh in children of disobedience. We've got the depraved nature. We're disobedient. We go against God. And we're controlled. We're not free. It takes a stronger man to come in and bind us. And in Ephesians 2:3 says that our conversations in the lust of the flesh. And you realize something. We're in a mess in this country today. We're in a mess in our own self. And without the work of God in our hearts, we'll all reject truth. In some ways, we may not have totally rejected it, but we didn't receive it, so not to receive it is to reject it. And I couldn't receive it during those days, several years of my pastorate, because I didn't understand. I couldn't see it. I was deceived, and I was controlled, and I was blinded. You realize something. I went back later and listened to some of those messages, and I said, my, why couldn't I hear them then? I couldn't hear them. And there's some people today that's not hearing what I'm saying on these radio broadcasts. They're not listening to it. And they don't have ears to hear. They want to fight it. And I thank God I didn't fight the truth back in those days. I could have rejected the truth and run from that and not been bothered. But I thank God for His goodness to me in those days. And I beg you who've listened to these broadcasts from time to time, I know I deal with specifics and real salvation and try to get you to see, examine yourself. Some people think you'll mess up people when you do that. No, you can't mess up a saved man. If he's saved, he can't go any deeper than the rock. And I've been accused of deceiving people. Well, if I can deceive you, you need to be deceived, because I won't tell you the devil's a lot stronger than I am, and he definitely will deceive you. That's probably the problem already. You're already deceived, and those who say that are probably deceived. But why do good men reject truth? Now, I hope you get the idea of what I'm talking about. At least the question is being asked, why do good men, why do men of character, why do men, maybe preachers, and I'll use them because they are the height of a so-called good men. And, well, I don't know today. There's many of them are so crooked they'll have to be screwed in the ground like a cork screw when they die, because they're not called, they're not God's men. But there are some good men out there. Now, why is it this way? Well, it's tradition has got hold of us. The Bible said in the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. And see, he's talking about the tradition of men. Now, it's all right to follow the tradition of Christ, but that tradition's used most of the time in a bad way. And, of course, it's talking about here the rudiments of the world. It's talking about these elements of the world is what it's dealing with. It's worldly things. Be not conformed to this world, in other words. But it gets hold of us. And that word capture, be not spoiled, it means to capture. And that's exactly what's happened in our lives. We've been captured by a philosophy that has crept in unawares, and for the last 50 years has been changing a little bit by little bit to the point that we now accept it as truth. And yet when real truth comes along, it's believed to be that they have a new doctrine. I preach the truth and somebody thinks you've got a new doctrine, a new this, a new that. They accuse Paul of that. Of course, Paul come on the scene with truth. They accused him of having a new doctrine. They accused Jesus of that because he come on the scene and they said, you've got a new doctrine. No, he just had the old. But the devil had changed it and caused men to follow tradition. Now, tradition is something that's passed on by word of mouth from generation to generation and becomes, in a sense, equivalent to the law of God. And it's made as if it's the law of God. That's why the Pharisees rebuked Jesus many times for some of the things he did, accused them of breaking his law, their law. No, he broke their tradition. And man, they couldn't handle that. But they were captured, and therefore they were blinded, and they didn't hear what the Lord had to say to them. And I think another thing that goes along with tradition is preconceived ideas. And that's because of our upbringing, because of the way we were taught, in other words. And so therefore we refuse to change to the Bible because we've already got our mind made up about what it means to what we believe. And you're not going to change me. I've talked to some, and they're often erring as far as doctrine is concerned about salvation. And it's you, they look at you as if to say, my mind's made up. Don't confuse me with the truth. Well, you need to be confused if you can be, but don't refuse to change. You ought to agree to listen. I listen to everyone who comes against me with some kind of accusation or accuses me of something. I listen to them. I may not sound like I do, but I listen because I want to check out. I look it up. I check it again. I have to go over my stand and where I stand over and over again because it's so few who stand where we stand on these truths that we're dealing with real salvation. And so as a result, you need to be prepared to change if necessary. But now, the Bible does warn us in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 24, verse number 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. You see, there's some people that change every time the wind blows. And in other words, they'll change with every wind of doctrine. And that's not right. Don't be meddle with them. Don't hang around them. They're given to change, and that's wrong. But you need to develop some conviction and be willing to die for it. But if you find out your conviction is wrong, you need to jump that. So we need not to reject truth. We need to receive truth. Because you see, the only way you'll ever be saved is to call on the Lord in truth. And the Bible said that he's nigh unto them who call on him in truth. And so therefore, why do good men reject truth? Now, I've tried to analyze this as I've dealt with some from time to time. For instance, the principle of salvation, which is found in the principle of Abraham's salvation, has been rejected time and again by preachers. In fact, they rejected me and my message completely at some camp meetings where I go to because they think I'm a heretic in that sense. But that doesn't matter. I've got to stand for truth. When you know something, you can't go back on that. And when I find in the Bible to be true, I've looked it over again and again and look at it. But why is it these preachers, good men, if you please, men of character, men that I love and respect as a man, why is it that they will reject that truth or at least won't receive it? They won't receive that. Well, I've tried to analyze that. I know I was talking to one day, and I was talking about backsliding, I think it was, and then all at once he used this as an example. What about Lot? Using Lot for an example for backsliding. And yet, I said, well, Lot wasn't saved until after he got down into Sodom and Gomorrah. He wasn't saved till he got down there, probably just a little while before God got him out of the country. How do I know that? By the principle of the Bible. You see, if you study about Abraham, when Abraham was saved, I know Abraham had more light than Lot did, and I know Lot couldn't have been saved before Abraham was, and Abraham wasn't saved until after Lot went down into Sodom, pitched his tent there and got in the gates, lost his family because he was a lost man. But Abraham, after he was saved, went down to Sodom and talked to Lot and tried to tell him some things and then wound up delivering him from captivity. But the thing about it is, he told him those things and then and he's not an excuse for backsliding, because backsliding is really apostasy, falling away from the truth. That means not receiving the truth. And then as I was talking to this individual, I said, "Well, you don't believe Abraham, do you?" I remember we had talked before, and he'd said he didn't believe the principle of Abraham that we've dealt with. And by the way, we have these on tape. We've even had some to order them and wanted to teach their Sunday school class about this principle that's found in the Bible that so few deal with. But it's a missing principle in our salvation experience. And then I said, "But you don't believe the principle of Abraham," because I remembered talking to him about that. And he said, "No, I don't." And I said to him, I said, "Listen, Romans chapter 4, James chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3, three times in the New Testament Scripture, which is inspired by God, it's God-breathed, it's written by holy men of old, and it says, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him to righteousness." And that was in Genesis 15:6, 9 years after he got in the land of Canaan. And then I said, "There it is," three times. And I said, "For you to deny the fact of the Abraham principle and won't believe that," I said, "you are denying Scripture. You are denying Scripture." Now, why do good men reject the truth of the Word of God? Well, I've come up with a conclusion to see that, and that is, and this is the bottom line. I know there's tradition, I know there's blindness and deception, I know being controlled by the flesh, the world, and the devil, but the real root problem with many men that are men of character, they're preachers, and the reason they will not accept truth, they know that if what we're preaching about real salvation, about the principle of Abraham, about these truths of God's Word, they know that if that's so, then they're going to have to admit that they are not saved. And they just can't handle that. Therefore, they reject the truth. See, if you don't receive it, you reject it. So folks, listen, it would be a whole lot better to receive truth now, while there's an open door, while there's a striving spirit, while there's a preacher of righteousness, than it would be to wait and face God one day and be cast in the lake of fire because you wasn't willing to get honest with yourself. I'm lost. Preachers, it's not a thing. If you're not saved, you need to get honest about that. Do not reject truth. Why do good men reject truth? Mainly because they don't want to accept it, because they'll have to admit that they're not saved, and they don't want to admit that. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.